Well, I know that you have somewhat of a formula in creating the signature sound, and you just mentioned one of them, and that is by creating, pieces that do represent the romantic couples. Talk a little bit about how you came up with the music that creates those situations, the two that you just mentioned in particular.
Yeah, Such Good Luck was actually a massive theme that came in the beginning of series two, and it was when Mary and Matthew were on a train station and they'd been together at the end of series one and they'd kind of fallen out and were no longer together. But there was a germ of something, still there. And she says goodbye to him, and he's going off to the First World War. He's actually going off to fight. And the producers wanted me to give people an idea that not only was she saying goodbye to Matthew, but actually we were as well. And it was very likely that he wasn't going to come back. And so, but actually, that didn't happen, but I knew the script. I knew that at the end of that series, he was going to propose to her and she was going to accept. And so I just had this sort of idea of trying to make a piece of music that could actually cover both. And there's a hint in the train station cue that actually some good might come out of this. And I was really sort of pleased with that tune. And consequently, the more I've been asked about the music, the more and more I've sort of realised that actually the music is not specifically about one character or about one emotion, but it's about the relationships between people.
And of course, sadly, Matthew does eventually die.
Oh, he took some of my best tunes to the grave with him.
I know, and that's what you've said. But you get to reprise them, also in this final series. Tell us, can you share that with us a little bit?
Well, I've got to be careful, but there is a scene in the, I think it's a penultimate episode for you, where Mary does go back to his grave and she needs to ask him a question. I mean, realistically, she knows she's not going to get an answer, but it's a symbolic moment, and it was just ideal to bring back that tune. And in fact, it's since Matthew died, there's been a couple of times where you do, it has been possible to kind of bring back his ghost in some form, or another. But I was very angry with him when he in fact, I've told him that as well, that he made my life hell once he'd gone.
Yeah, you weren't the only one that was angry. But where is that piece in the is on the second CD, I imagine? Which is the piece?
Well, actually, no. It is Such Good Luck. It is such good. It's that same tune, which kind of we hadn't really used since series two, and it had become such a. I think it was in series three a bit. But we hadn't used it, been able to use it ever since. But it kind of came back, just kind of reminded you, of that. There was just a nice moment to be able to remind people of, Mary's journey and what that relationship had been like.
Well, let's talk about Bates and Anna, because I know that you, like you said, it's about the relationship, but you do have a way of signifying who you're referring to in that relationship through the instrumentation.
Yeah, Damaged is the seventh track on CD one is basically sort of based on Anna and Bates. I was looking for an idea to kind of signify sort of Bates, and it was before they were even remotely together, but there was a hint that there might be something, and she was. She sort of took pity on him more than anything else, and he had a limp, and I don't know why. I mean, it's kind of slightly odd thinking about it back now, but I came up with this piano sort of tune that thing that was had a sort of stutter to it. It's a bit like a limp, but which goes bum 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 on the piano. And it's kind of, and it was a bit slower than that actually. And then I added a sort of viola tune which to that, which was sort of Anna, and a kind of English sort of folk element to it. And the combination of those two things, those two, that tune and that kind of lilting, slightly stilted piano, repeated piano refrain, has actually been there since episode one, series one, and has gone all the way through to series six.
I'm impressed that you can remember every episode in the series.
Well, I'm not sure that I can.
I mean, it was interesting because I know I've read a little bit about your experience in these past several years and how 6 months of the year you spend on Downton and then 6 months you spend doing other projects.
Yeah.
When you were able to return to Downton, was that kind of like, was there a certain level of comfort
there?
Yeah. What was that feeling?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's because I think the hard work is really in what I do is sort of trying to create a sound world, and what works for the kind of harmonic structure of the music, how that works and what its role is, and so after series one everybody was really happy, it was a massive success. It was more successful than any of us could have imagined at the time. So it really was, it was a question of kind of, keeping on the same path. I mean, obviously, every episode has got some kind of new storyline. So there's always a new element in every episode. But, I kind of relish the sort of idea of being able to take material that I've worked on before and then kind of present it in a different way and expand on it. So what's really helped as well is that after everybody got the confidence of doing the first series, I was pretty much left, to my own devices. I've had very little, no interference whatsoever in, how the music works. It's basically just been myself and Gareth Neame and occasionally Liz Truebridge, the producer. We've kind of organised the music basically between ourselves. So it's a very, very close-knit, very, tight group. So it's actually been a joy to work on.
What's interesting to me is the series would not be the same without the music. And one of the things you're going for, though, is that emotional reaction. I mean, you're trying to get inside our heads. How do you do that?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, people, I'm not entirely sure. I can only go on my instinct in a way. There's always a process when I'm working on every cue. If there's working on a cue that they're expecting people to cry at, I think if I haven't cried myself at least in at least one point in trying to, establish what the music is, then, I haven't succeeded. So I kind of rely on my own. If I've been moved, then I think there's a good chance that the audience will be moved. That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, there's no real hard and fast, formula, I'm afraid.
Do you think it has anything to do with the sweeping strings that have that, that are just so familiar with a few classic English composers like Vaughan Williams and Elgar?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to them a lot. I've been big fans of both of them, for years and years. Quite a lot of the music, quite a lot of their music is quite, sort of overwrought, and it was just a bit, some of it was just be a bit too much for Downton. But I mean, there are definitely places where, I am required to kind of create a sort of English atmosphere. And strings has been, is a big part of that, that sound.
You also said, though, that Ravel and Debussy
have
been big influences.
Yeah, actually they have, yeah. Yeah, Ravel.
And where do we hear those influences? Is there a piece on this recording where you would say, oh, here's Here's what I was thinking of as I started to put down these notes on the page.
Let me have a look. Yeah, life after death, I think, is one that would... Story of My Life, the second track on CD one, they've all got that kind of, you know, sort of, you know, harmony of minor sevenths, you know, kind of established on top of one another. And of course, they were also very influential on Vaughan Williams and Elgar too.
And Story of My Life, where do we hear that in the series?
That's another Anna and Bates cue. That's the second cue I wrote for Anna and Bates, and she takes him a tray up in episode one, series one, and he's been kind of basically fired because they don't think he's capable of being of doing his job because of his limp. You know, he can't really sort of carry anything because he's only got one hand, because one hand needs the stick. And she takes him up a tray, and it's kind of, you know, it's of food, and it's going to be his last night there, or so we think. They don't really speak to each other or even say anything. You know, it's all about what they're thinking about each other, really, and that's that's where that meets you. That cue comes back at the very, very end of Series 6 for a very good reason, and I can't tell you why.
Okay.
Because you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it
yet. But it will make sense.
I want to ask you about one of the most difficult scenes for you to write, which actually had nothing to do with the characters that we think of immediately, but actually from a four-legged character.
Oh, yeah. Isis.
Tell me about that. How did you handle that?
That was really difficult, actually, because my kids were... we've got a dog, and my kids are pretty obsessed with the dog. In fact, at one point I said they can have a dad or a dog, and they went for the dog. They absolutely love the dog. So they actually watched me write the cue for it, and they were actually quite off. I said, "Well, is that too moving, should it have kind of more respect?" We ended up doing a cue that kind of sort of respected the existence of Isis, but this was a sort of natural way of things. So I didn't write a piece of music that was like a tragedy, because it was in the sort of natural way of things. You know, she was old. I think people still find it very moving.
And which piece is that? Is that on the CD?
You know, it's not. Why is that?
Oh, why is
but
that?
But there's a semblance of it in a cue which is 18 on CD2, which ended up calling Two Sisters. And it's partly because the music does have this kind of... it's quite a moving piece of music, but it's not kind of overly tragic. It's a kind of sort of piece of music that says that this is the sort of natural way of things. And I've ended up calling it Two Sisters because I've used it a couple of times. It was just that kind of music that worked really well for a couple of scenes between Edith and Mary. I can't really give it away.
No, I understand. I want to ask you about the new Gladiators, and I don't know what you can tell me about that, but I'm hearing a real shift in the music at that time. And I know that you would, that you are doing something new in this series musically, and I don't know if there's anything you can share without over-revealing
Yeah.
Or not.
The new Gladiators. Well, there was a... It's basically... I think I can sort of say... I can't tell you what happens, but basically, it's like a Formula One race. It's a very, very early, possibly the first Formula One race in Britain, which this must have been 1926. And so we tried, you know, kind of classic sort of Downton, you know, very fast, you know, kind of even Hunt sort of style music over it. And I think we all felt that actually we just needed something, you know, because I think that's one thing about the whole of Series 6 is that there is this idea that the world is changing. And it's actually changing into an era. I know we've still, it's still, you know, almost 100 years ago, but it's becoming more familiar to us now. Whereas when the series started in 1912, you could say it was like a foreign country. Whereas, you know, the things like, you know, having a Formula One race, something we still have now. So there was a feeling that the music should kind of reflect that change as well. So in fact, I slightly changed the orchestration, had some trumpets in a, you know, a section of French horns, and actually the music is probably more like a kind of 1950s, you know, film score. You could even it could be James Bondish, kind of, if that makes kind of any sense.
Oh, yeah, sure it does. I'm noticing more jazz elements, too, in the music on the second CD. You're having an awful lot of fun.
Yeah, there's four jazz tracks on CD2, and they are actually used in the on set. They're cues, you know, music that actually musicians actually play in picture, you know, at various times. We go to a jazz club a couple of times. And so those particular tracks are about as realistic as we can kind of get this day. We've tried to be really, to be as authentic as possible. But we thought it might be nice to kind of break up that CD with, you know, a sort of variety of music.
Now, you mentioned in a recent interview that the series does not end the way you were originally expecting it to end. Can you tell me how you thought it was going to end, but didn't, without giving away how it does end?
Can I do that? I suppose I think I was expecting us to leave the house, or the house gets sold, or something kind of, or you know, it something happens to kind of, you know, bring it to an end, and actually it doesn't, but it's no less satisfying. In fact, in many ways it's more satisfying the way it does end.
So I know that Carson and Mrs. Hughes are a huge romantic couple, maybe a little unexpected, but very fun for those
yep.
of us watching now, how they're going to
yep.
actually work this
yeah,
out.
What have you, and have you had episode two yet? Yeah.
Yeah, just episode two. Mm-hmm.
So how does that end? Because the episodes here are kind of slightly
different.
They're
trying to figure out what Mr. Carson's real intentions are with this marriage, if it's a full marriage with all the benefits, or if they're just going to live in a house together.
Oh, I mean, there's a fantastic scene between him and Mrs. Patmore. It's so hysterical. I remember that, but she's trying to get across to him what the question that she's got to ask. No, I remember that. Right, okay. So you haven't actually got to the conclusion of that yet, right? Okay,
no,
all right, yeah,
right, that's correct.
Yeah. All right, well, hold on to your seats.
Oh well, that'll be fun. Let's see what else. I know that I'm trying to be respectful of your time.
It's fine, Julie.
Are you feeling? Are you feeling any sadness or loss as the series is ending, or is there in some way a way that this is going to continue for you?
I mean, in some ways it is going to continue because there's talk of a film. It's by no means definite. We're talking about a possible live tour, kind of concentrating on the music, but also maybe perhaps having some of the cast on it as well. I mean, I'm constantly asked to kind of go and perform the music, and I'll probably kind of carry on doing that. Places like, for instance, Japan, I think, has only got series two at the moment. It's massive in China. And although technically I won't, actually be working on, music to picture yet, it's funny, it's still there. It doesn't feel like it's dead. I mean, it took a while to, we had like almost 6 months of parties. There was a rap party when they stopped filming. There was a party when we did the last day of filming in Highclere. There was one for the last day of filming in Ealing Studios. There was a post-production party. There was a party for the screening of the final episode. It kind of, we've had a lot. So it's never felt like an end because there's always been another party about the end of it.
Well, it sounds like the Downton family really extends to an awful lot of people off the set. Is that how this is felt for you?
Yeah, I don't get to know many of the cast because my job is usually almost entirely in post-production. But in Downton, I did, especially in the early series, I did get involved in the music that had to be filmed on set. I played piano for Lady Mary. I organized string quartets. I did some of the jazz. I played piano for Shirley MacLaine. Taught her a song. And consequently, I've got to know the cast really well, and it's been a very happy project to work on. I mean, some of the people I've met, particularly in post production, they're people, I've made friends with, I'll be, friends with, for the rest of my life, probably. And I think there's quite a lot of us, I've felt like that. It's felt like a really good, tight-knit family, and we've all kind of knuckled down and tried to do things to the best of our ability.
So, I don't know if you can think of one thing, and it doesn't have to be just one thing, but as you kind of step away from this as a regular ongoing project, what has been most memorable for you? Maybe you just told me what's most memorable, or maybe there's something else.
I think, it would probably have to be, the theme tune has just become so famous now that it just seems to be instantly recognised, the world over. ITV, who televise it, who broadcast it here, they've been going for 60. They just had their 60th birthday, and they had a whole television series about the best theme tunes over their 60 years. They had the top 20, and Downton was number 6. I think that's probably quite an achievement. I never thought that would happened, despite the fact I've done of all the things I've done. That's quite, and I think I've written something that will kind of people will remember for years.
Do you feel like this all just kind of fell in your lap? Not realizing how big it would be.
I didn't realize. None of us realized. I mean, we'd all done, but I'd been nominated for an Emmy before I'd done music for Little Dorrit and Bleak House, that they were, pretty successful in America as well. And so I was kind of hoping, well, if it's successful as that'll be terrific. But, I don't think any of us were expecting it anything like, this scale. I'd like to think that I'd done my time, to deserve a big break like that, but I have to say it was a big break
There's a couple of other series that are you already working on, or may work on? Is that what I read?
Yeah. I did this series on BBC America called The Last Kingdom, which is sort of about Vikings and Saxons. It's about the last kingdom remaining in England, which belonged to the Saxons in the 9th century. And it's about the fight for that. It's a fantastic series. There's going to be another series of that. I'm working on Grantchester Series 2, which has already been... first series was on PBS last year, I believe. I'm just finishing that series now. And I think there's going to be another series of Grantchester, and I'm going to be starting work on something I can't really divulge what it is, but very soon.